episode with Neil Bender. How you doing, Neil?
Hey, I'm doing great. What episode is this?
This is episode 24.
Episode 24. All right.
How excited are you to be in here?
I'm super excited, man. I can't tell you how excited I am.
We've known each other for a long time now.
It's been a minute. Yeah. So, 04?
04.
04.
I owned a real estate company called Real Estate USA in Gig Harbor.
Yep. Right by the KFC and the oil change place.
Yep. How did you find me?
So, I found you through Paul Berg. So, I had just gotten out of school at WSU and went down to California and was working down there and decided I wanted to go to law school, came up. Was hanging out with Paul, who's my dad's first cousin, and he said, you should try real estate.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And a month later, I had my license, and a month after that, I sold my first house. And so he was the one that got me to Real Estate USA. And then we met there like the first day?
Maybe the first day. Yeah. Real close.
Yeah. So that's when it was a race to pick up the phone and fax machines and all kinds of other fun stuff. Yeah.
Our fun little office on Point Fosdick there.
Yeah. Good location.
Great location.
Not a lot of walk-ups.
No, we didn't have walk-ups. We had some interesting people we worked with, though.
Yeah, we had several interesting people that we worked with there. That was great. Like I said, it raced to pick up the phone because somebody would pick it up on that first half ring. And we had, there was probably at least a dozen of us in there.
Yeah.
Most of those guys are retired now, I think.
Who was your favorite?
Tugboat Willie.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, Tugboat Willie was great. He had a picture of every house he had ever sold in his little office, and it was just covered wall to wall.
Yeah.
And he was always on the phone and a hardworking guy, and looked up to him a lot.
You kept in touch with him for a long time, didn't you?
Yeah, we did for a really long time. Lost touch. I'm not sure where he is now. Last time he retired to Alaska and was up on the Kenai Peninsula, and I think that's where he was originally from. So I like to think he's on a tugboat somewhere living it up. Yeah.
How about our buddy, the lawn doctor?
Oh, the lawn doctor, Dr. Lawn, Carl Skaggs.
Carl Skaggs. Yeah.
Carl Skaggs. Paul called him Carl Skaggs forever.
Of course he did.
Carl's doing good. I keep up with Carl too. And I worked with him at a couple of different offices. So he worked at Real Estate USA and then at Action Real Estate.
Yeah.
And then Carl went down to Arizona. Well, no, he went down to go fracking.
He went fracking like in... Wasn't it like North Dakota or South Dakota or something?
In North Dakota, yeah.
He
was driving truck. When everything kind of fell apart or whatever, they were paying huge. So he was working for Sandgel. And really cool stories coming out of there. But yeah, a lot of work. Yeah.
Love it. So let's dive into some real estate.
Yeah, let's get right to it.
Tell me, what are some of the most common mistakes that buyers and sellers make during the real estate process, and how can they be avoided?
Sure. Let's start with sellers.
Okay.
I think the biggest mistake sellers make is not pricing it correctly. You know, we can put a light that you could see from space on it, but if it's not in the price range, it's not going to work. With a difficult market, you got to be ready to negotiate a little bit. And so I think sellers are still coming in a little bit too headstrong as far as what things are worth and what buyers are willing to pay for them. And as a result, we're seeing some longer stays on market. For buyers, I think the biggest mistake you could do is not working with the correct lender and working with someone that isn't familiar with the area. And so you can't call an agent that's out of town and be able to expect them to have the expert local knowledge that you need. So I think that real estate's becoming more hyper-localized and that it's important that buyers not only working with the right finance people, but also are able to work with the right agent that knows the area super well.
So you and I have done a lot of transactions together.
Yeah, too many to count. Yeah.
Too many to count. What would you say the most important thing when a buyer comes to you and says, I am looking for a lender? What's the most important thing to you talking to them about a lender?
Just that they need to find the best deal and the best communication. Depending on the loan program they're going for, depending on, if this is their first rodeo or not, it's important to have lots and lots of information and also be getting the best rate.
Yeah. Well, I've moved around companies a lot, and where I've landed now, we have some of the best rates around.
Yeah.
So, I encourage people now to shop for rates.
Yeah.
Not all lenders are the same. And really, I think having a relationship between the lender and the real estate agent is huge for buyers.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think that's important just from a communication standpoint. I just did one that was new construction. They used the in-house lender and it was a nightmare. You know, yeah. The CD was wrong, had to get it corrected two or three times. There was a rate buy down. And so it was a little bit more complicated than a usual deal. Seller concession. Anyway, just getting all the numbers lined up and the communication. And because it was the builder's lender, which sometimes buyers are kind of forced to use, the communication there was tough. Yeah.
Communication is key.
Yeah.
Like, I love working with agents. I love working with you where we can communicate. You know, if I'm having a problem, I'm not bashful to go to you and say, hey, I've got this. And you can help me resolve it also sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, communication throughout the process is so important.
Absolutely. I think that's real critical. And that's getting lost a little bit with texts and emails and that kind of stuff. So I like when people can personalize it a little bit and pick up the phone when something's wrong. It's easier to fix it like that than to go back and forth through several texts or emails, in my opinion. Yeah.
So you're in a transaction. How do you handle unexpected situations such as home inspections revealing major issues and or, you know, let's say the buyer gets cold feet last minute? How do you handle that type of thing?
You know, it really kind of depends on the situation. For just kind of context there, if something happens big during the home inspection, that's the time that you should be really questioning it. It's the longest that you have in the home before you purchase it. And so if there's something there bothering you, it's certainly going to bother the next guy and it's going to be something that has to be dealt with. And so I try to get the seller to be able to cover those things, especially if they're deal breakers. And sometimes deals don't come together. And so I've seen buyers walk at the last minute. Sometimes it's a familial thing. Somebody died. Sometimes it's a job change or a divorce or for whatever reason, life kind of happens.
You've had all these things.
Yeah, all of those things.
All those things.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
well,
you have.
It happens.
If you're in the business long enough, you're gonna come across some really strange stuff.
You're gonna come across some really, really weird stuff.
Yeah.
I had someone leave a dog one time. Can I tell you that story really quick?
Absolutely. The seller left a dog?
The seller left a dog. So I'm selling a house in Olympia, and it's kind of like a barn, you know, kind of setting, equestrian or whatever. And they have a list of the things they're going to leave with the home. And I'm looking at the list, and it's like, number one, the riding lawnmower. Number two, the dog. Her name is Bella. Number three, and I'm like,
Hold on. They put it on the purchase contract.
Not on the purchase contract, but on just like the list of things we're leaving, you know, was the dog. And I called the other agent. I was like, so the dog's coming with it. She's like, yep, dog's coming with it. It's like, have you ever negotiated a dog before? She's like, no, this is a first. I was like, well, I'm not adopting a dog. She's like, well, me neither. I hope the buyers like it. And anyway, it worked out fine. But the buyers love the dog. Bella, the dog, is still alive and well in Olympia, running the fields and herding sheep. So
that is hilarious.
Stuff comes up that's weird sometimes. And so just try to roll with the punches a little bit.
So that's a weird thing. What is one of the strangest or funniest things you've ever seen?
Oh, the funniest thing I saw was naked lawn mowing guy in Alala.
So oh, boy.
This is back in probably 07. So things were still kind of hot. It made a little bit of a turn, but stuff was still selling and, you know, money was free and the rest of it are being given out pretty freely. And there was a guy and he just didn't like his neighbor and he didn't want new neighbors.
Oh,
so every
gosh.
Time we went over there, he's naked on his lawnmower. And we were over there.
He was not the seller. He was the neighbor.
He was the neighbor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Naked lawn mowing guy. That's a good one.
It was pretty. They didn't end up buying the house ultimately.
Yeah.
It did close. And so I'm not sure if, you know, how that worked out. But that was one of the funnier things that I'd seen. And the fact that they kept going back, we're like, well, maybe it was just I don't know. So every time.
Hopefully he liked the new neighbors that moved in.
Hopefully they just, you know, put up a fence or got used to it or
some big old
whatever, you know.
Privacy trees.
People do weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. People do weird stuff. Absolutely. How do you approach working with first-time home buyers and what advice do you give them to help navigate the process?
First-time home buyers are special, especially right now, because things are crazy, interest rates are high. And so if they're in the market, the first thing I do is say, good for you.
You know,
if you guys are going to buy in this market, you're committed to the area, I think it's never a bad time to buy. But with the first-time home buyers, I just try to douse them with information without being too overwhelming. I try to explain to them stuff that can come up, turns in the road. This new construction that I was talking about previously was a first-time home buyer. And they went into several homes. The new construction kind of spoke to them, but I talked to them about how that was going to be different. And, you know, it ended up being that communication up front really helped at the end. because when they kept saying no about stuff and then I was able to fix certain things and unable to fix other things, that communication was right up front and known. The other thing I really like working with first-time home buyers because they get to use an FHA program or USDA or something that's a lowdown. You only get to do that a couple times.
So right.
That's a cool thing.
FHA, you can use multiple times. You just can't have two FHA loans at the same time unless you're moving away. There is some nuances to that. It's kind of a pain to get around, but you can do that.
Okay. And the VA, you can use that eligibility over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You can have more than one VA loan, right?
You can, depending on how much eligibility is used.
Okay.
You can use it again to buy a second home. And in fact, even if the eligibility doesn't cover the whole 100%, they have to bring in some, but there's a matrix that we plug in and they can use that again.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the military guys, you know, and gals, it's one of those where if you're only going to be here for a couple of years, it's hard to really time that.
Yeah.
You know? But if you're going to be here, you're going to retire here, you have family here, this is a great place to set down roots. And, you know, like we've seen over the years, you have so many people that are like, they've been all over the world, but they come here to retire.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
How do you stay in touch with your clients after closing?
In touch with clients after closing, they get a Christmas card every single year. Yep. And so I try to make a big deal out of that. And then I try to keep in loose communication for at least a couple of months after, make sure that handoff's good. And, you know, I'm not going to call you every month. You know, it's just one of those that, you know, three kids, busy, you know, the rest of it. And I love my job. And if you want to call me, I'm around anytime. But that's probably something that I need to work on a little bit is calling those people, especially the ones that really get along super well. Yeah.
So you've been in the business for 20 years. How do you stay motivated and passionate about what you do?
The kids and the wife help. For sure. Yeah. That's number one motivator and makes it easy to get out and go do it. Real proud of them and real proud of what they're doing in life. And so I'm trying to be as supportive of that as I can. Other than that, the energy of it, you know, there's peaks and valleys and there's days that are tough, but there's days that are really great too. And I like the freedom of the job.
Yeah.
You know,
flexibility is great.
Yeah. And after this long, you know, I was nerve-wracked about it at first, and I was younger and didn't have some of the overhead that I have now, but it all seems to work out year after year. So I just try to keep doing what I do and keep up with people as best I can and try to work hard.
Here's a curveball for you.
Yeah.
If you had an ideal client, who would you work with?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one.
I know you do a lot of stuff. I mean, over the years, you've done a lot of land.
Yeah.
You list for builders.
Yeah.
You've worked with a ton of first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
You've worked with a ton of people that are in the military and also veterans.
Sure, sure.
Do you have a specific client that if you had to work with one specific type of client from here until forever, who would it be?
You know, I really have a passion for waterfront properties.
Yeah.
I think they're unique and rare, and the way that they've increased in equity and all the nuances that go into, well, what's the bulkhead like? What's the hillside like? What's the setbacks look like? What are the neighbors like? How's the dry? You know, there's all these things that factor into waterfront that's different than other types of real estate. And so I think that's where my heart is. And I love being on the water. So if I had a perfect world thing, yeah, I'd show waterfront on the Puget Sound every day.
That's a great answer. And in your answer, you said that there's so many things extra to look at on waterfront that people just don't realize.
Yeah.
You know, bulkhead is a huge one. And what do you know about that personally?
Well, I know that they can fail. And I've seen them several times. Waterfront's one of those things, it's a risk. And so if you want something simple, then, you know, get something buried in a hillside that's got a nice view, or get something on a golf course, or get something on a big piece in the woods. But living on the water has its risks. And I think risk reward there is worth it. But there's several things to look out for. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that you and I have spent some time on the water together, and I look forward to spending a lot more time on the water with you. And waterfront for me is one of my absolute ultimate goals. I want to be on the water.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's a beautiful thing, and it's not one of those things that's widely available. And again, because of its rarity, I really feel like those types of properties are going to build insane equity in the next coming years. Yeah.
And we are lucky to live in such a beautiful area. You know, the Gig Harbor area is absolutely gorgeous. And to think that body of water we can get from our backyard to literally anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
That is waterfront. That isn't a lake. It's pretty incredible.
It's really cool. Yeah. And the way that it filters in and out, and all the animals that come in and out. And
yeah.
We saw that dolphin that one time, and that was
jumping in the wake. That was so cool.
It was a gray dolphin, right?
Yeah.
And that shouldn't have been there, or it was weird that it was there.
I've only seen it twice.
You know, but it played with the boat for like half hour.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And we've seen whales. I mean, we have gray whales, the killer whales coming down here and there. I've only been fortunate to see them once. I know they're here all the time, and I try to locate them and find them. And
this summer, it's going to happen.
It is going to happen.
We'll get that figured out for sure.
Crime and I went up to San Juan's twice with James.
And nothing.
I never saw the damn orcas. It just pissed me off.
This summer, we're going to make it happen.
All right, done. Well, Neil, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, anytime. I appreciate it. And anytime that you want me to come back, that'd be great.
Is there anything else you'd like to add in the real estate world that's, you know, maybe current events or anything?
Well, I'll tell you, I can't stop thinking about this roundtable pizza that we're going to go eat. We're going to go eat all-you-can-eat roundtable pizza, and we're going to listen to 94.1.
They have the dessert pizza, right?
They have the dessert pizza, for sure. It doesn't include the salad bar, but it does include the dessert pizza.
What's 94.1?
94.1 is a radio station that everybody should be listening to right now. It's great.
It's not on my speed,
think it used to be a country station, and so I don't know how old it is, but a friend of mine turned onto it, and I can't turn it off.
Something new.
So if you're looking for a jam, 94.1 is the way to go. Yeah,
I love it. Well, again, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. We will definitely have you on, and if you need a great real estate agent, Neil Bender, he is the man. He lives in Gig Harbor, but does all over Pierce County, Thurston County, Kitsap County. He'll go where you are.
I know all those places. So yes, absolutely. Please give me a call.
Thanks for joining.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Another great day.